a replay from November 1st at the State of Jefferson because Red and Kayla are at a State of Jefferson delegate convention. So we're going to be playing this from November 1st. Hope you enjoy. Wake the dead. So that freedom song rage.
Good morning, Jeffersonians. It's November.
It is. It is the first of the month.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there is a dark, insidious plot coming across the land. It's called National Novel Writing Month.
Oh, I thought that was going to be an Election Day joke.
Oh, no, that's just, that's not a joke. That's just,
yeah.
That's just sadness.
And it is a wet one here. You know, it's not the gully washer that we were promised, but talking to a couple buddies, they saw a little bit of slush and snow up top, so hopefully we're getting there.
Yeah. So. The last one that came through about a week and a half ago rained so hard, I saw it coming over the fence line to the house.
Yeah,
it did. And then it gushed into my kitchen window, onto the windowsill, into the sink and everything. So I'm kind of glad this is slower.
It rained so hard, it washed those two kids off the road.
I heard about
that. On their way out there to Haas. That's kind of crazy. So, anyways, on to something a little bit more cheerful than that. We are in the rush to Election Day. We're almost there. You know, the last leg of the marathon's there. It's time to put the hammer down, get the kick, and get across the finish line.
Yeah.
And then
Tuesday.
Kick back, have a beer, and then start all over again and get ready for 2 years from now.
Oh, that sounds so much fun.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll be a little bit better prepared for it, a little bit more effective. So,
Also going on in the month of November, on the 15th, which is a Saturday, the first annual State of Jefferson Sporting Clay Tournament.
Yeah, that's going to be a good time.
At the Rolling Hills Casino.
Yeah. Anybody, you want to come down and shoot, it's $100 to shoot.
But there's a limited number of slots, so you need to sign up today, because yesterday was technically the deadline.
Yeah.
But there's still a couple slots open.
Not many, though.
No.
So, and trust me, there's going to be some good side action going on. I've got some money laid on this teenage girl out of Placer County. I think she's going to outshoot everybody.
Probably,
so if you don't want everybody to get outshot in the State of Jefferson by a teenage girl, come on down there and put your money where your mouth is and have a good time. We got some fantastic belt buckles for the winners in the different shooting categories. Your $100 includes a tri-tip lunch and a good time down at the casino.
And if you don't want to shoot, it's just $20 for lunch.
Yeah.
So you can go and just watch the festivities and get in the raffles and drawings.
Yeah, the mouse and I will be down there speaking, and we'll be having a good time. And
I was supposed to, but I'll be somewhere else now.
Oh.
That's the 15th.
Stuck down there by myself?
You make it sound like a burden. I'll be there in spirit.
Okay. It's not as much fun when you're sitting there speaking by yourself.
Yeah.
So.
Maybe we can find somebody else to go.
Maybe. Yeah. We'll see what we can. But
hopefully a lot of people will be there.
We want to go over some local stuff today for us, because there's a lot of things that we've been involved in, and one of them certainly is the land debacle down at the Turtle Bay facility and the Measure A. And you know, as most people know, we don't support a vote on Measure A, or Measure B, sorry. And
there's a lot of measures out there.
There is.
And props.
And I'm getting a little punch drunk from all the different stuff. But we do have the spokesman for Revolt, Tom Corrado, here. And he's here to say some things about why Measure B is a bad idea, and you know, let people know some of the things that are going on. Because I've received a couple of mailers in the mail that have really kind of upset me, just the deviousness behind them and, you know, the misleading that they are. But good morning, Tom.
Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to be here this morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic.
Even though it's only 8 in the morning?
Even though it's only 8 in the morning.
He's all cheerful when he comes in. I'm like, oh, I rolled out of bed and barely got here.
So how are things going with Revolt and the march to make sure that the citizens of Reading are getting the value for the land that they deserve?
Well, things have been very, very busy, I'm sure, on both sides, and I'm sure on both sides of all of the measures. Things are very busy as we're coming down this last stretch of the race here. I think we're all very much looking forward to hitting that finish line.
Yeah.
And I know I am personally. I'm ready to get back to normal insanity life instead of this crazy insanity life.
It does. It can consume you. It takes a lot of time to do this.
It definitely does. Definitely does.
And I want to say thank you for stepping up and doing what needs to be done, because we know how much time it does take and how much you got to just keep hammering at it to get it done.
You know, I've had many, many people from the community express appreciation for what I've done. And I have to say, it truly is a humbling experience for me to feel the support that I've gotten from the community. And it's been a really good experience overall. You know, some difficulties, but overall it's been a very, very positive experience. I really appreciate the opportunity to represent so many people and to make them feel like there's somebody out there championing for them.
And that is, that's good. We do have a caller on the line. We'll get to him real quick, and then maybe we can dive into Measure B a little bit after that call on the break.
That sounds great.
Good morning, Terry. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Just want to announce real quick. Hey, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Terry. How about you?
Doing well. Just wanted to announce that Monday night at the Tea Party at 2570 Bonneview Road, we will have Paul Preston in speaking about Agenda 21, and he is also the host of the radio program Agenda 21. That's Monday night. The only other quick thing I want to announce is that on Sunday at 2 o'clock at the Maxwell Inn in Colusa County, we are having our first town hall in Colusa County. And I want to encourage anybody who's listening to call your friends
and
neighbors
ninth,
in Colusa County and show up for that.
Is that on the 9th, November 9th?
That is on November the 9th at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, not Sunday tomorrow, Sunday next week.
Did I say Sunday tomorrow?
You just
I think
said
it was
Sunday.
Insinuated.
Sunday, November 9th. Thanks, kids. Keep me straight up.
It's okay.
All right, you guys
do it
have a
us.
Great program.
Oh. All right. Thanks, Terry. Right.
Thank
Bye.
You.
So, yep. I just did the calendar, and that's what I put in.
So, yes, State of Jefferson will be having a town hall in Maxwell.
And that's Colusa County.
Colusa County. Yep. And they have been very positive, and we think we may get some really, really quick movement out of them like we saw in Glenn County.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny, a lot of our elected officials, they have, you know, 6 out of 11 counties that they represent, and a couple of them couldn't tell you one thing about the state of Jefferson. And they've got 6 of their counties that they represent that have voted to withdraw from the state of California, and they're not even paying attention.
Well, that's California politics at its finest.
Well, it kind of gets you thinking maybe we need some new elected officials, doesn't it?
We need some more people to run against those elected officials, too.
That is
people
true.
People got to step up if you want change.
That is true.
And that's where Tom Corrado comes back in.
Yes, that is.
That was
Tom
a beautiful segue,
It was. We've got a couple minutes if you want to dive into Measure B and some of the things that is going on with it.
Well, let's talk first of all about those slate mailers that you and I had a conversation on.
Yeah.
I got the phone call from you asking about this particular group and why they were supporting Measure B, and did a little research on it and discovered that there are several slate mailers out there. Actually, from what I'm seeing, there are 14 that I'm aware of. I was told there might be even another 4 beyond that, but 14 that I'm aware of. And what I discovered was that these groups that are putting out these slate mailers are not necessarily representing what they are putting on the slate mailer. This is an issue where someone in a campaign can actually purchase their support. And so I went back and dug through the financial statements from the Yes on B crowd, the supporters of Measure B, and discovered that truly they did purchase 14 slate mailers. And bottom line is they just send money to this company, and I don't know how they negotiate that, but they send money to this company, and this company says that they endorse Measure B. Yeah. They might not know anything about it. They might not care about it. There could be no influence either way other than the fact that they'll take the money and they'll put your endorsement on it.
And the actual mailer is disguised to look like it comes from the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, and you actually have to find this tiny little box on there where it says we are not actually part of the party or endorsed by the party or anything like that. We are paid for by, you know, whoever's got an asterisk on this mailer, and guess what? That's Yes on Measure B. So this whole thing is polished up and advertised as an actual campaign mailer from a political party, and it's nothing of the sort. It's a paid-for advertisement and endorsement.
And it's legal.
Yeah, I looked into that. I can't believe that it's legal.
Yeah, that kind of blows my mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's false advertising.
Yeah.
Right.
It is. It's misleading. It's devious. But it really does kind of highlight the kind of people that you're dealing with.
Well, and it just shows that it depends on who's got the money. That's true. And in this case, our opposition has definitely had the money, and they have used a campaign consulting company out of Sacramento, a very high-dollar company, to come in and run their campaign for them. And this is my first foray into politics. I didn't have a clue about slate mailers. So obviously they were able to snag every one of them. And they spent over $17,000 on those slate mailers alone.
But they can't pay for,
Yeah, to pay cool local wages. Working guys.
Yeah.
I know. It is.
But you'll spend that much on an election.
And the more that you watch and the more money that the McConnell Foundation and Turtle Bay and the Yes on B people spend, because that is who's funding them, even though they're not technically supposed to be. They're funneling the money in there.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this cash, you start to ask, okay, so if this isn't really because you can't afford the prevailing wage, because you're obviously spending more money than you would have if you had just paid prevailing wage, what is this really about?
And before we go to break, what are the numbers up to for the campaigns? How much have each of the groups spent?
They are spending close to $450,000 to our $30,000.
$500,000.
On top of the $600,000 that they're going to pay for the land.
On top of the lost revenue for the hotel not being operating for 3 years, on top of the increased construction costs.
Yeah, it's to really probably get turned around and have to compensate for prevailing wage at the end of the day anyways.
We're confident.
I heard about that, too. We'll have to discuss
that right after the break.
That's an interesting one. If you have any questions or comments for Tom Corrado or for us here at the Jefferson State of Mind, you can call in at 605-4567 or visit us online in our chat room at kcnr1460.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas Tynan, holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
You'll find all your favorite table games at Wind River Resort and Casino. Everyday favorites like blackjack. You can't go wrong with a classic. Is single-deck blackjack hand-picked more your style? Double-up blackjack, three-card poker, four-card poker, fortune pie gal poker, golden 21 poker, and lucky ladies bonuses. Plus mystery card roulette. No one else in town offers this. We'll make each gaming experience better than your last. For all table game details, log on to WinRiver.com. More games, more ways to win, more fun at Wind River Resort and Casino. It's better on the river.
When the stakes are high, have the cards in your hand. Wind River Resort and Casino's River's Edge Poker Room is a cut above the rest with you, the player, in mind. We're offering PLO, Hot Limit Omaha. One for the small blind, two for the big blind. It's a hot game people love. It's a game filled with action, especially on the flop. Hot Limit Omaha on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. in the River's Edge at Wind River Resort and Casino. $100 buy-in. For more information, log on to WinRiver.com. Check us out on Facebook or visit the River's Edge. Poker is better on the river.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have we. Through the decades, we have served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism we would expect for our own families. When you need to get to or from the airport to the train station, perhaps, we're there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234, and we'll be there for you.
Working man blues. I keep my nose on the grindstone, work hard every day. I might get a little tired on the weekend after I go.
Welcome back to the Jefferson State of Mind, where it's always lively and fun.
I don't know. I'm a little slow today. The coffee hasn't kicked in yet. I think it's kind of the weather change.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I am enjoying it. So our guest is Tom Corrado of Revolt, who has been working very, very diligently at making sure that, the citizens of Reading get a square deal out of what's going on down at Turtle Bay.
Yep. And so, we just finished talking about the, what are they called, slate mailers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Slate mailers, and how you can actually farm out your advertising, basically, and have them pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoever shows up with the money first.
Yep.
Yeah, and basically how they advertise this thing is it's very much made up to look like a party campaign flyer. Mm-hmm. But if you read the fine print, it basically just says, oh, yeah, these are the candidates that have Republican after their name. And then they show you pictures, but they present it in such a way to be intentionally misleading.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of disgusting.
Just kind of?
Yeah, just kind
just
of.
Just kind of.
I've seen, you know, in this process, I've seen worse.
That's true.
But, yeah.
Well, the thing that's misleading about it is that people pick up one of those slate mailers from the Republican Party, Democratic Party, Green Party, or whatever, and they think, oh, this is how my party thinks I should vote. And a lot of people vote party line.
Yeah. And that's something that we're absolutely opposed with to begin with, is quit looking at the R, or the D, or the whatever after anybody's name. Look into who your candidate is. Look into what the measure says. You know, look at who's endorsing it, why they're, you know, get informed about what this really is.
Yeah.
Because if there's anything that's more misleading than politics, I haven't found it yet. To be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So,
yeah.
And some of the things that are going on with Turtle Bay, for those people that did, I don't know, I guess have been in a cave or under a rock for the last 7 or 8 months.
You can't drive anywhere. You can't turn on the radio without hearing another endorsement for it.
Yeah. And it's about the land deal. They're 14 and a half acres down at the Turtle Bay area that the city of Redding wants to sell to the McConnell Foundation for a premium price. We're talking about 14 and a half acres of prime riverfront property that they claim is only worth $600,000, mm-hmm. even though now there's been another offer of substantially more money on it. And for me, they continue to mislead people when they say there's this 100-year lease on there. The truth is it's actually a 55-year lease, of which several of the years have already gone by, right?
Let me clarify that.
Yeah.
And let me start by saying that, you know, we talked about them spending $450,000. They're spending $450,000 to distract people off of the land sale.
Yeah.
And they've got all these distractions about prevailing wage, tax revenues for the city, jobs for Reading. All of those are just distractions. And what they're doing is they're spending this money to distract people off the land sale. And that land sale, as we were just discussing, is got a faulty value. And it was based upon an appraisal taking into account that lease. And there's a lot I could say about this, and hopefully I'll have time to say a couple of the other things. But truly, the lease is a 33-year lease with, well, there are two 55-year leases, I believe, is how it started. Right now, it's a 33-year lease with a renewal clause of 55 years.
Yeah, and both the landlord and the tenant have to agree to that.
That is correct. Contrary to what they keep telling everybody, that it's unilateral, when you read the lease agreement, both parties have to agree to it.
Well, from my own research and just kind of poking around, I believe the valuation of the land to be much, much higher.
Oh, yeah.
And to me, if I could get that land at $600,000 in 33 years from now, it's going to be an investment valued well north of $5 to $6 million. Yeah, I would invest that and wait 33 years for that kind of a payout. You're not going to get a better return anywhere else.
Well, and a lot of what they keep hanging their hat on is this appraisal. You know, they keep saying the appraisal this, the appraisal that. Well, the first thing we need to understand is that the buyer got to write the appraisal instructions.
Which is unprecedented.
I've never heard of it. And if I was going to buy your house, would you let me dictate to the appraiser how to value your house?
No,
absolutely
not.
A lot of people have said, well, you know, the city agreed to it. Well, I dug into that and had an email exchange with the city attorney and discovered that the Reading City Council never did vote on the appraisal instructions. And, in fact, there never was an actual official vote taken to approve the appraisal instructions. And, in fact, I've got an email here that I got through a public records request that the city attorney had with one of the Record Searchlight reporters who was inquiring about the same thing. And here's what he said. He said, I am troubled by the fact that you seem to be characterizing the creation of the appraisal instructions as an important or defining moment. It was not. Now, bear in mind, this is the document that values that land. This document puts the value on that land. And he's saying
sounds
it was
important to me.
Yeah, he's saying it was not important. In fact, he goes on to say the development of the appraisal instructions was a perfunctory matter. Well, I'm kind of a vocabulary.
How is it perfunctory matter?
Well, the first thing we need to do is let everybody know what perfunctory means.
I was about to say, most people probably won't know what that means.
Yeah, I'm kind of a vocabulary buff, and if I don't know a word, I like to look it up. Just something I do.
Yeah.
Perfunctory, look it up on thefreedictionary.com, says done routinely and with little interest or care. acting with indifference, showing little interest or care. This is, again, the document that was used to value that land was done with indifference.
With little interest or care.
Absolutely, absolutely insane to me.
And that's
absolutely
the thing that really
insane.
Bothers me is when you read on the ballot thing that you get sent on Measure B, it says they're paying $600,000, which is $157,000 more than the value of the land. Which obviously means the value of the land is really important because they're paying more than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if that would be a true accurate statement, but it's
a lot
very
of people
misleading.
Have asked me about
well,
that.
Well, the thing that, you know, that statement really makes to me is because a lot of people get caught up in the argument, oh, this is a fight between Turtle Bay and the unions, or this is a fight between McConnell. What this really comes down to is the assets of the citizens. We as citizens of Reading, this is our asset. This is part of the heritage that we're to pass on to our children. Mm-hmm. And our city attorney says that he is handling our asset with perfunctory care, with little indifference to the care of our assets.
Well, have you met the city attorney?
Yes, I have.
You know, not to be mean, but seriously?
Well, you know, I was taught if you can't say anything nice... You know,
Get a radio show.
I don't think very much of Dervinay, and to be perfectly honest, I think McConnell ought to be paying his salary. He's working for him anyways.
Well, don't you have some interesting emails about...
We do. We have emails that show that Duvernay was working with Turtle Bay and McConnell prior to a lot of this, mm-hmm. while being paid by the taxpayers.
Yeah.
And those are on our website, readingrevolt.com, as well as... We have over 35 documents backing up a lot of our statements.
And that's the thing I really appreciate what ReadingRevolt.com does. If you actually go to the website, all the documents are right there.
Right there.
They're mm-hmm. easy to find. They're right there. You go to Revive or whatever it is, and, oh, we have the documents.
Well, one of the easiest things that you can do to see what this thing is all about is just go read the contract.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't try to disguise it in the contract at all. Yeah. What they tell you about the contract is very misleading and untruthful, but... If you read the contract, it's right there in black and white. Mm-hmm. And we do have a caller on the line, Charles.
Good morning, Charles. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Knocking on wood here for the, 2 days from now.
Oh, election day.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, here we have, in this whole controversy, you have a very... large, very powerful, very well-moneyed foundation
mm-hmm.
that wants to exempt itself from the very rules that they want to see imposed on everybody else. For example, in 2011, their allies on city council voted against the idea of Reading becoming a charter city. Now, if Reading was already a charter city, the prevailing wage matter could potentially have been entirely moot, but they didn't want that to happen. So then, more recently, you have different McConnell allies on the city council refusing to even agendize the matter of the state of Jefferson. And if we were the state of Jefferson, there's the possibility, though certainly not the guarantee, because, law codes still have to be voted on and so forth, but the possibility, again, of the prevailing wage question being entirely moot. So you have two instances where...
Well, I wouldn't exactly say that Jefferson would create a situation where this wouldn't come up. Certainly most Jeffersonians... don't like big money coming in and dictating to folks, but...
Right, but back to you have this foundation's allies on city council voting against the idea of a state of Jefferson, and incidentally, their allies in the Board of Supervisors
Important to the point is it's not necessarily just that they voted against the state of Jefferson. They are working for a private company against the will of the citizens.
A private foundation that incidentally has their allies have shown, and an ally incidentally is simply somebody who gives aid to another party. That's all that term would mean as it would apply to this matter. So you know, you have their McConnell's allies on city council, vote, you know, against Charter City and against the state of Jefferson. So they've clearly shown that they want to continue the prevailing wage requirement, yet they want to exempt McConnell from the very requirement that they want to see on everybody else. And it's sort of like the laws applying to ordinary men, not applying to McConnell. What's that all about?
Yeah. I would say there's a lot of truth in that, but we have got to cut to our bottom of the hour break. Thank you, Charles.
By the way, did you have a chance to read that rather lengthy report that I did when I was after I checked into the whole Weaver controversy?
I have.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I want to thank you for that. All right, we do. We've got to get cut out. We've got to get cut out to our break.
Looks like it's time for a break here.
It is. Yeah. We got to run. Thank you, Charles.
All right, if you have any questions for us or for Tom Crotto, please call in at 605-4567 or visit us online in our chat room at kcnr1460.com.
In the city streets and the quiet country town. Working together like spokes inside a wheel, they keep this country turning around. Hello, Kansas, we feel honored and thank you for your time. You are the 40-hour week for me.
Can our northern counties afford to lose over 50 jobs? It doesn't make sense. Does it make sense to drive to Sacramento and back 322 miles round trip for a bottle of milk? Of course not. It doesn't make sense. What this means to you, up to 7 days turnaround time on your mail, checks and bill payments will be delayed, seniors and veterans medications will be delayed, families forced to leave the area because schools declining enrollment, fewer people means retailers affected by loss of revenue. It doesn't make sense. What you can do, check your local area weekly newspaper and the Record Searchlight Thursday date section to sign the petition to save our local mail processing. Deadline is December 1st for names to be submitted. Just say no to the closure of local mail processing. It's the people's post office. Let's save it. Your name counts. You will make a difference. We need your help now. Paid for by the American Postal Workers Union. Call 223-7552 for more information. That's 223-7552.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. We would like to invite you to join us December 14th at 2 o'clock for the Northern California Christmas for the Troops program, the Homeward Bound Christmas. We're going to have live music with the Lou White Band, a great barbecue, and we're going to be packing 400 boxes and sending these boxes overseas to our military personnel across the world. Please join us if you'd like to give us a call. The phone number is 222-2282. Help us make a Merry Christmas for our military personnel around the world.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Out to the corner, sideswiped the truck, across the fenders just for luck. Fenders was clicking on the guardrail post. The guy beside it was white as a ghost.
Welcome back to the Jefferson State of Mind.
Little Hot Rod Lincoln.
Yeah. And, there's a theme with the music today. It's kind of all got the same type of mood going on.
Kind of in overdrive, heading to finish this thing out. And I know we're not talking about a lot of Jefferson-specific stuff today. We're kind of focused on one local Shasta County issue for us. Mm-hmm. But we really feel that this is an important issue to go over. And it does highlight things in your particular counties and in Jefferson as a whole that you need to do and look into. Because on the surface, things are not often as they seem. And that's one of the things that we need to fix. And you know, the McConnell Foundation reminds me a lot of that old saying, you know, beware the Greeks come bearing gifts. You know, this whole Turtle Bay deal is really a Trojan horse.
Yeah. And this can happen in any one of the other counties, any one of the other cities. I mean, the Wall Street Journal published a very interesting article about the McConnell Foundation back in
2001. They tried to warn us.
2001. And they were saying how the McConnell Foundation has gone from philanthropist to philanthropist activist, and how that is actually causing issues
Yeah,
throughout the North State.
It's not the McConnell Foundation of the days when the McConnells were actually running it,
exactly.
When it was a fantastic organization.
Yep.
It's become invasive and insidious, and they're kind of starting to get everywhere. And I've started to track the money and some of the banks that they're making deposits in and investing in, where they're going to start projects in other counties, is starting to kind of really raise the hair on the back of my neck. Some of the other stuff that they're in, they're not done here with Turtle Bay by any means. They're not done in the city of Redding, and they're starting to spread their tentacles out into the North State.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that needs a light shone on it.
Yeah.
So that's why we're
focusing on this measure, and that's why we have Tom Crotto back with us for the second half of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
We'll keep him as long as he allows us to chain him to the desk.
Yeah.
Not a problem. Not a problem.
So, if you can let us know some of the other issues that the city is still facing, even if Measure B does pass, the prevailing wage issue is still going to come up. That is correct.
We feel very confident that when this is done and we take it back to the DIR, and when I say we, I don't mean Revolt. I mean the Northeastern California Building and Constructions Trades Council, because they are two separate entities.
Mm-hmm.
Revolt has a lot of residents involved in it that are not involved in the Building Trades Council. But from the Building Trades Council perspective, we believe very, very confidently that when this goes back to the DIR, it will be a very simple process to show that this land truly is worth more than $600,000 if Measure B passes.
Well, by nature of the $1 million proposal or
bid
or whatever
it is, more.
Doesn't that already mean that it's worth more?
It seems to me. I would have to agree with you.
There's already an offer of almost twice of what they're offering as the value of the land.
Yeah.
So how do you say that the land's not worth more when someone's already willing to pay you more for it?
Well, I guess it depends on which side of Measure B you're on.
Well, you know, and I've heard a lot about the $1 million offer. Oh, it's just a political stunt. No, Alan Shuffelberger, who made that offer, would absolutely purchase that land for $1 million, happily and openly so, because in 33 years, and that's worst case scenario, if there's not another way out of the lease, which I think the way I read the contract, there's several other ways out of the lease.
Mm-hmm.
But even if he has to hold that lease for 33 years and then decide not to mutually renew it, that land at $1 million is probably going to revalue itself by 700%.
Well, what if Shuffelberger...
700% over a 33-year investment, that is a hell of a return. And you'd have to be an idiot not to make a deal like that.
Well, couldn't Shuffelberger also build the hotel and the restaurant if he wanted to?
He could.
Would be his land. And then Turtle Bay can still get the proceeds of it. And we don't have this huge McConnell issue.
Well, see, he hasn't even begun to negotiate from what I can see.
Well, that's because the city can't, right? Because it's on the ballot.
Well, and when I say negotiate, I'm not talking price. I'm talking about options with the land.
Oh, okay.
It's so premature in that situation. There's just a lot that can happen there. One thing that I want to point out that I find very interesting is I went to nearly every one of the city council candidate debates. And multiple times I heard Francie Sullivan stand up and make the statement that if someone wants to pay more for that land with the 88-year lease, they need to step forward.
And they have.
And, in fact, I kind of put a little response on Mark Beecham's blog at the Record Searchlight, and I sent him that audio clip. And it's right on there, and you can hear Francie make the statement. And so as soon as the guy does it, then guess what? Everybody comes out of the woodwork. They crucify him. They accuse him of all these heinous things.
Yeah.
And it really goes to prove also another point that I have had a lot of businesses and a lot of people say, I support you, but I can't be involved publicly because of the retaliation factor. And this whole manner of how Shuffelberger was treated goes to prove that they had some very valid concerns.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very valid concerns.
And that's the thing that bothers me the most about this is when you have politics in bed with private corporations that are large like that.
Mm-hmm.
They do have the ability to create a fearful environment, which makes you wonder what kind of government you actually have, which is why city council elections are so important.
Well, and you look at who we're actually campaigning against. You have Revolt campaigning against Revive, Turtle Bay, the Chamber of Commerce, certainly the editorial department at the Record Searchlight.
Probably more.
It goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
And so we're actually battling a multi-headed opponent with a huge deep pocket of cash. So this truly is, one person coined it, a David versus Goliath, and it really is.
Mm-hmm.
What I find very encouraging is the fact that typically the money wins.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, they should be annihilating us 80-20, but they're not. And I think a lot of people are going to be surprised.
A lot of people are getting really tired of the way that they treat the average citizen. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a lot of the citizens that have been here for McConnell and watched the transformation of what yes. McConnell used to be to what McConnell is becoming are very concerned.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people here that still remember what it was when it was Turtle Bay was a pond and Carter House and all of the things. Mm-hmm. And remember what McConnell Foundation did setting up Turtle Bay, gutting people that had spent their a lot of years and a lot of their time in their lives investing in Carter House and things like that. And it was more like a hostile takeover when they set up Turtle Bay. It was not necessarily an amicable thing.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, there was a very good argument that instead of rewarding McConnell for the failures of Turtle Bay and its inability to sustain itself and come up with a sustainable business model, maybe the city should be looking at censuring them for their failure to do so. You know, maybe if we really want to keep Turtle Bay, we should start looking for a different investor that has a successful business model to take over the Turtle Bay Museum. Why are we not looking at other options to keep our museum, to keep the cultural standpoint that they say yeah. that they want, but maybe it's time for new management down there.
Yeah. And that's the thing that a lot of people, they look at me and they go, oh, you don't support Turtle Bay. I was at Turtle Bay 2 weeks ago doing Civil War stuff. We absolutely support Turtle Bay.
Yeah.
We don't support how it's being run, and it's being run into the ground. I mean, it's a business venture that's had, what, 15 years of lack of success?
Failure.
I mean, what is this, a government program?
Yeah, that wants continued mm-hmm. citizen subsidization to pay for their failure.
Well.
Right, and I would say that I have been amazed at how many people find out that I'm against Measure B, and that's the statement that comes out of their mouth. Oh, you're against Turtle Bay. And it's like, absolutely not. I am not against Turtle Bay. I am against this land sale. Mm-hmm. And I've got another item here I'd like to share about mm-hmm. the appraisal and the impact that this has upon the valuation of the land. If you go to the Reading City Council meeting from May 7, 2013, you can watch the video clip online on the Reading City website. And about the 2-hour and 56-minute mark, they were talking about whether the lease should be part of the appraisal. And we all know that lease is the hinge pin that greatly devalued the land. So they were discussing, should that lease be part of the appraisal process? Here's what the attorney said. The city attorney said, if the property is going to get appraised, assuming a 99-year lease, the city's got to have assurances that the meat of the lease remains in effect for that period of time. Then he goes on to say, the terms of the lease will remain in effect and not be subject to change without the city's consent. One of the city council members that voted for this asked the question, would that be done through a deed restriction? And he said, yes, that would be accomplished through a deed restriction. So what we have is we've got an appraisal process that included the lease, which, again, greatly devalued it. But on the other end, the deed restriction never got in there.
I will say, I've been to most city council meetings, and I haven't gone to one where there's a deed restriction even.
It's not in the contract.
Yeah. There is nothing there to guarantee that lease is going to remain in effect for 88 years, and there's nothing giving the city any opportunity to give consent to any changes to that lease. The city is completely out of it. The people of the city of Reading will have no choice from then on out. It is all between McConnell and Turtle Bay, and the only thing that has to happen to change that lease is for those two parties to agree. Theoretically, the day after escrow closes, they can eliminate the lease. Not saying they would, but theoretically they could.
They could.
I pressed the city attorney about why is this not in writing, and his response to me was, I've worked with McConnell for a long time, and I trust them. And I said, well, that's nice, but why is this not in writing? Mm-hmm. And he looked me right in the eye and said, we just need to trust the McConnell Foundation.
That's the lawyer, right?
Yeah, that's in the city attorney. Okay. And my reaction was, well, real estate transactions should not be based on trust.
They never are.
They're based on contracts.
Yeah.
And it should be in writing. If it's going to be valued based on that, it should be in writing.
Yeah.
And the thing is even if he trusts McConnell on a personal level, which mm-hmm. is a ridiculous kind of statement, he's not representing himself. He's representing the people of Reading, and the people of Reading deserve a contract in writing.
What attorney ever looks at you and says, we don't need it in writing, we just need to trust the other side?
Yeah.
Who says that?
Well, nobody. You just have to watch a couple episodes of Judge Judy to know that's not a good idea.
Right.
Sorry. Had to throw a little bit of life in there.
All right. We've got to sneak off to another break here.
Yes, we do. If you have any questions or comments for Tom, then feel free to call in at 605-4567 or visit us online in our chat room at kcnr1460.com.
You left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho.
Hello, Shasta County, this is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
The weather outside is frightful, but the wine over on the west side is delightful. Westside Wines at 1872 Buenaventura is your new hotspot for holiday cheer. Whether you are a wine newbie or you really know your vintages, the wine educators at Westside Wines can help you find that perfect bottle. From beautiful Bordeaux to crisp Chardonnays, their rare boutique finds will surely delight you. Westside Wines wishes you a sparkling Christmas.
Because you guarded our freedom, because you protected our country, because you served. In honor of Veterans Day, during the entire month of November, Reading optometrist Dr. Christy Davis is offering free comprehensive eye exams to veterans. Because you have given so much, let us give back to you. Make your free appointment today by calling 222-7271. That's 222-7271. Or visit davisod.com.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay-neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us East Side Road off of 273.
Just making sure you guys are still awake out there. So,
I remember that song. That song came out when I was in junior high.
Yeah?
Yeah, we would headbang to it outside of school. Yeah.
It was always good for football and stuff like that, you know. And,
well, basketball, because we were huge basketball players.
Ah.
Yeah.
Nice. So we are approaching the end of the hour on this kind of chilly, drizzly Saturday morning.
Beautiful, finally November morning.
Yeah, and want to get on the soapbox a little bit. We are a couple days away from the election.
Mm-hmm.
Get out there and vote. It is important. You know, it just the quickest way to lose freedom and liberty is not to exercise it, to not use it.
Yeah.
Get out there and use your vote. And, you know, hopefully one of the things that you're voting against is Measure B.
But before we hop into that, we do have a caller on the line.
Ooh.
Yes, we have Billy Bob. Good morning, Billy Bob. How are you today?
Hey, good. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, listen, Mr. Curto, you've explained the union's position and very clearly this morning, and I wanted to call and add a point or two to that. In the fact that it never went to public auction, which now with this recent offer, we're being made aware of that. If it went to public auction originally, it would have been well over even the $1 million offer. And again, another point is that city attorney with that library free speech incident of a couple of years ago, he already proved that he's a bonehead and that he can't get his job done. It cost the city over $400,000 to fight that free speech situation over there. So I after listening to you, I think you're right. It's subsidized no matter what, and they already had permission to build on 5 acres, and they didn't do it, and they wanted to sidestep the prevailing wage, and now look what they're into. But with this offer coming in, and they're not going to handle it, you got them beat hand down. I think I'm no lawyer, but I think you got them beat. All right, bye.
Thank you, Billy.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You know, it's interesting because I've got 2 points I want to make. Number one, the evening that they voted to do this land sale, Patrick Jones actually offered, he made a motion to sell the 5 acres to them for a dollar, mm-hmm. and they turned it down because they wanted the whole 14.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the most telling things.
Jaw dropped.
You know, he basically said, admit this is prevailing wage. We'll even subsidize you further helping Turtle Bay. Here's the land you need for a buck. Mm-hmm. And they went,
Well,
if you can't see the actual crowd, but I was also there that night. A couple people held up $1 bills.
Yeah.
Wow.
They said, I'll take it. So, yeah, I mean, it's...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and they have said many times that they cannot afford to build this hotel if they have to pay prevailing wage, which started out at $1.25 million based upon their own spokesman, and then they hyperinflated that up to $3.2 to make it sound worse. But what's interesting is they can't afford to build with prevailing wage, and here again we're talking about a distraction. I want to clarify, this is nothing more than a distraction. But they can't afford to build it with that $1.25 million, but they had no line item in their construction budget for land expense. So that doesn't make sense to me. They kept standing up saying that this doesn't pencil out if we have to pay prevailing wage. How can it not pencil out if you're not paying for land? And then the other thing that makes it not make sense about not penciling out is they have said that this will yield about $1 million a year in profit, which will go to Turtle Bay. Well, if you increase the cost of this project by 1.25, or split the difference and say 2.25 or 2.5 million, if you increase the project by that much, that additional amount of money that you have to loan is not going to eat up $1 million a year. That's like saying that to get a loan for that $2 million is going to cost me $1 million to make that payment. And that just doesn't add up. Not at all.
So would you say that it would be a fair assessment that this Turtle Bay land deal is just a crash test dummy to avoid prevailing wage on further jobs that are, you know, further McConnell projects that are coming to our area and other places?
There are a lot of people that feel that way. A lot of people that feel that way.
Yeah, I think that's exactly. I think they're trying to establish a precedent because I know of other projects that are coming to this area and following the money trail the banks that they're investing in. They're starting to branch out into other counties now. Mm-hmm. And I think they're trying to set a precedent here to avoid a lot of this in future projects. Yeah. And I want to throw it out there to our Jefferson people. If start paying attention to any new big public service projects or anything like that, if you find the McConnell name in there, fight it tooth and nail. You don't want them digging into your county.
Well, and I would just say also for all your listeners in other areas, if you catch wind of something that just doesn't seem right, you know, through being at a council meeting or whatnot, I would encourage you, go back through and watch the videos. Go back through and read through the minutes, because in doing so, we have uncovered just a host of issues that we missed the first time going through. What I quoted earlier about the city attorney making the statement about having the deed restriction. I missed that the first time, but I went through it not long ago, and I went, wow, how did I miss that? So I just encourage people, really dig into it.
Yeah, and we agree with that. We always preach that to everybody, investigate. You know, look into it yourself. Don't take anybody's word for it. Find out. You know, get to the root of it. And a quick question, even after the election, is Revolt going to stay in business?
Well, you know, we haven't made that decision formally. Off the top of my head, I would say I don't know that there would be a reason to, because it had a single purpose.
Yeah.
And that was to get this ballot or this measure on the ballot and give the residents an opportunity to vote on it.
Yeah.
And we've accomplished that. So, you know, we will take a look at that, but I'm going to say again off the top of my head, probably it will end after this.
Okay. So, and we've been encouraging a lot of the activist groups that have popped up during this election, keep your infrastructure in place, keep your core in place, so mm-hmm. when the next thing comes up, and it will,
that
you can hit the ground running, mm-hmm. because, you know, I know what we've had to go through getting an organization up and getting it going,
12, 20
and
different
getting
counties.
It effective, you know, and just the amount of groundwork, and to let all of that go and then have to start from ground zero again, mm-hmm. you know, so, mm-hmm. but, I think a lot of people are starting to wake up, and, you know, now that we're starting to talk amongst ourselves too, we're kind of finding out we're not that far apart as we keep getting told we are.
Yeah.
You know, there's some things we'll never agree on, and that's okay, but there is an awful lot. I'd say 90-95% of the stuff we do agree on.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there are a lot of people that make assumptions. There are people that make assumptions that everybody in the union is a liberal Democrat.
Yeah.
You know, there are just a lot of those assumptions out there. And yeah. You know,
I was guilty of that. I'll be honest. You know, I'd always been taught, oh, yeah, they're just Democrats and they want to take your money because they're socialistic. And I'm like, but Tom isn't. Yeah. I like Tom.
I'm glad to hear that.
Well, that's like, you know, through this process, I've met a lot of great union guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, they are the same go to church on Sunday, beer drinking, watching baseball, eating apple pie American sweetheart.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's time that we set aside the 5% of stuff that we disagree on, because there seems to be this attitude, we can't get together on this 5%, so we're not going to get along on this 90% of this other stuff, too.
Yeah.
And that's
not right.
Ultimately, what's tearing our country apart, mm-hmm. from the local to the federal level, and we got to knock it off.
I like what you said earlier about put the R aside, put the D aside, and look at the issue.
Yeah.
Look at the individual.
Yeah.
Correct.
And I think that you'll find a lot of the younger people tend to do that, just because we have seen how divisive it is, and we don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think for the younger crowd, our choice in the election is none of the above. Try again. Get us somebody worth it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm so disgusted with voting with the lesser of two evils that it just, you know, I'd like to see a candidate I can get behind and excited about and go, hey, you know, right on. You know, I really want this person to get elected, not hold my nose and check the box.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or skip the box.
Yeah,
I
or
tend
skip
to
the box.
Skip the boxes now.
Yeah.
But
we want to thank Tom for being here, and thank you for
my pleasure.
You know, to our people out in the other Jefferson counties, I know this is kind of a local thing, and you guys don't like that sometimes, but
now you're prepared if something starts happening there.
Yeah.
So now you know what to do and who to call. It's not Ghostbusters.
I'm not giving my phone number out.
It's too late. We have it. So, but yeah, you know, for us, this is a very serious issue here, and it's just a symptom of a more endemic problem,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, due to apathy and people not paying attention, we've allowed our local government to slip away from control of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now that the people are kind of standing up and going, hey, what's going on here? Our government is kind of holding their noses at us and going, oh, it's you guys. What do you want? I don't know. I would like to create a situation in my local government where people don't have to go kiss the pinky ring of the elected official to get what they want.
Thank you.
I would like the elected official coming to the people and going, may I have permission to run for office?
Yeah.
You know, and it'll probably never get to that situation. That's a bit extreme, but I would like to see something of that nature, you know, where
you're a public servant. We forget the servant part.
I think a lot of the problem is the people. Is while we're busy arguing with each other, they're off doing whatever they want. And we've got to set aside the arguments amongst each other and bring our elected officials back to task.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's where, you know, if you want to be called it, activists are really, really important, because you're aware of the situation. You're saying, this is wrong. This is what we want you to do. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you're David and they're Goliath. But, you know, David did win that one, too. So,
well, one of the things that got me, too, is during one of the Measure B debates,
mm-hmm.
is one of the Yes on Measure B people stood up and said, I can't believe this. You have the left in bed with the right. And it's like, okay, if they're the left and we're the right, what are you?
Yeah.
You know.
What are you?
Yeah, what are
That's
you?
That's a good point.
You know, and anymore, when people ask, you know, are you Republican, are you Democrat, left wing, right? My answer is just, I'm an American.
Yeah.
That's my answer. What are you? I'm an American. Mm-hmm. So
I like that.
All right. And
but we are at the end of our hour.
We
so
are.
So thank you for coming in, and I'm sure we'll see you in the future.
Yeah.
Hopefully during less hectic times.
Hopefully so. Hopefully so. I appreciate the opportunity to be here, and I just want to finish by saying I urge everybody to vote no on Measure B. Keep mm-hmm. your public lands in the public hands.
Yeah, or at least get fair
That's
value
fishy.
For them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, at a time that we need cops and public services and we're hurting for cash,
yeah.
let's at least get a fair value for our land so that we can use it for something good.
Indeed. Well, this is the Jefferson State of Mind. Make it yours, Jeffersonians.
Yep, go jump in some rain puddles. Have some fun with it.
Ooh, leaves, too.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
All right. From yesterday's ash, and raise your fist with us. We are the army that's charging upon the land. Defeat is no longer an option. It is victory. We stand.
You're listening to to KCNR 1460, the community radio of the North State. Go to KCNR1460.com to chat or stream live, or you can give us a call at 530-605-4567. Currently, it is 52 degrees, going to get up to a high of 61, be raining throughout the day, and a low of 39. Sunday is looking at a high of 63, low of 37, partly cloudy. And Monday is going to be a high of 64, low of 37. It's going to be a beautiful week, and you are listening to KCNR 1460, the community radio of the North.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Not much success to report so far on those nuclear talks with Iran in Vienna. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry is warning of what he calls serious gaps in the talks right now. German's Foreign Minister Frank-Walter Steinmeier also taking part, and he says it's not clear what Iran's intentions really are.
Negotiations about Iran, this is the weekend, or these are the hours of truth, and We have to check now if Iran is really ready to move in the right direction.
Steinmeier spoke after arriving today in Vienna to join Secretary of State Kerry. Defending the Keystone XL oil pipeline, the focus of today's GOP weekly radio address.
Building Keystone would create more than 40,000 high-paying jobs, putting billions of dollars in workers' pockets, and give a much-needed boost to America's construction industry.
That's Louisiana Congressman Bill Cassidy in his weekly address, President Obama.